This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rogue Rebel Podcast. I am your host, Sal, with your other host, Lizzie.
Hello.
And we are here, finally, to talk about the Bad Batch finale. The cavalry has arrived. Right?
Yes.
That's going to be cool. And we had fun. Cavalry. There's no L.
Cavalry.
Cal.
Last stars.
Cal.
Oh, that game that you play now?
Which one?
Final Fantasy one?
Yes.
14?
Yes.
Yeah. They had a, like, what's it called? When, like, another company, like, does a thing with another company.
Oh, they had, like, the Yukai Watch or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, Haas is getting, like, everything. Or some of it's, they're getting all the stuff from that.
They have Koma-san.
Is that the main guy?
That's, well, no, that's the, oh, my swirls.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's the one we like. Guy, yeah, yes. He's, like, his cousin or brother or sister or something.
He has a brother, yeah. They're both there. Because Chris was like, oh, look, there's like Yokai Watch stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my swirls. He's like, nice. What are you talking about? And I was like, Koma-san.
We're all saving up, although I'm
and Komajiro. Komajiro's his brother's name. Sorry.
Gotcha. We're all saving up because there's like, I guess like the next couple of weeks or something, there's like a huge like event that's like Gold Saucer points, doubles your points or something like that. So we're all saving up to become, like, gamblers for that week. And So we were like, this is our boys' trip to Vegas. We're all, like, Haas is like, I'm getting the best chocobos ready and all that. Like, we're all learning how to do the mini games and everything.
Yeah. Nice.
We've made, like, a couple of the guys are like, I made the gold saucer my spawn point.
Oh.
You know, so we just wake up in the casino like a degenerate.
Okay.
Good times. Anyway. Make sure you're checking us out at theroguerebels.com. Make sure you're following us on all socials at the Rogue Rebels, TikTok, Instagram. There's more, right? Our Facebook page, Blue Sky, Threads. Except Twitter, because we're Rogue Rebels fam over there. But you know, if you are following those things, you might have seen what's going on. Why I was out of town this week. There was a really cool giant con in Mexico called CCXP, and they had an Acolyte panel, and we performed.
So, was it like a regular kind of like a Comic-Con over here?
Yeah,
did
yeah.
Did they have an artist alley?
I didn't see it, but yeah, like we didn't have like any downtime. Like we got there and like it was straight to rehearsal. Like we didn't like, and then by the time like we were done with the event, they shipped us off to do like a baseball game, and we did another event. And then we didn't even go back to the con on Sunday because they were like, okay, and they'll pick you up from your, you know, your hotel at 3 or whatever to get to the airport. So it was like all work, dude. I mean, it was like fun.
All work,
you know,
no play.
All work, no play. But we did get to walk the floor like a little bit, but like on the first day or whatever. And it was like really nice. Like, I don't know if it was because it was like less crowded, but it was almost like the way the floors are set up at usual cons here is like, you have like these big, you know, you'll have the Lucasfilm, you'll have the DC and Mario or whatever, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's all set up. And then there's also like vendors, you know, so you'll have something that has like all the Funkos and like all these like T-shirts or like comics or toys or whatever it is. Right. And then like a giant like, oh, there's Hasbro and like all that, you know, and then there's Disney. And then there's like another guy that has like 72 T-shirts, you know. So over there, it was like the floor was all experiences. It was like Disney, Planet of the Apes, Fox, Alien Romulus, Disney Plus. Like there was a ramen thing, but I couldn't figure out what to do. We did like some Burger King thing where like they had a Burger King store, and we were like, yeah, we're hungry, man. Give us, like, and they were like, oh, it's not a store. It's like a little pretend store where you could take a picture. And we were like, oh. But that's fine, because we went outside to eat, and the, like, there was, like, taco, you know, there was trucks. And I was like, well, I'm going to go with the taco one. And I got three different kinds of tacos. And for some reason, the pastor wasn't that good. And so I was like, oh. But I thought it was the pork belly, because I got pork belly as well. But the Argentinian chorizo was, like, the greatest thing in life. So it, and then, like, the, when I got to the pork belly, I was like, oh, no, this is the pork belly. And this is pretty bomb, too. But, yeah, Argentinian chorizo. Good times. Yeah, so we did, like, a sort of, like, lightsaber performance, Jedi sort of training sort of thing at the beginning of the Acolyte panel with Daphne Keen and all that. And I was like, oh, that'll be cool, because we'll get to, like, get a photo with her or something afterwards. And then we finished, and they were like, all right, it's time to go to the baseball game. And we were like, oh, okay. I waved to her backstage, and that was it. And that's the end of our, like, crossing paths. All right, then. You know. And then somebody was, like, talking to me, and they were like, oh, that's the person from Logan. I was like, yeah.
I don't know at all. So
I don't know if you watched Logan.
I watched Logan. Okay. I mean, I don't know the girl. Person at all. Oh.
Like Logan's daughter. She's the, I forgot what her name is in the Acolyte.
Was she actually like Logan's daughter? I couldn't remember.
I mean, she's like a clone or whatever. So as much as Boba is Jango's daughter, I guess.
Right.
I'm sorry, son.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. Whatever. But yeah, so it was cool. It was a fun event. It was like really, really nice to get out there and rep Lucasfilm. And I also got to bust out like a yellow lightsaber to be High Republic style. I was like, well, can I please maybe like this time since it's High Republic, I'll be like the one guy with a yellow lightsaber? And they were like, yeah, that sounds good. And I was like, yes. So that was fun. And that's why I was gone. And that's why we weren't able to record. So it's my fault. I apologize, listeners. Please forgive me. Yeah. And if you have a chance, look up like CCXP The Acolyte, and you'll probably see footage of, you know, us doing lightsaber things, which is like really cool, really fun. And it's like, I enjoyed it. So yeah. But I'm back. And now we're going to talk Bad Batch. You good? You got anything to promote, Lizzie?
No, much.
No Star Wars Geek Girl?
The Star Wars Geek Girl, we will get to.
Ah, okay.
Shall.
Gotcha. All right, then. I guess let's move on to our Bad Batch thingy-mabobbers. So this is like the finale episode, not even just like season finale. This is like series finale. Everybody's on pins and needles. Spoilers from here on out. Spoilers from here on out. Spoilers from here on out.
My ears.
And what? And like, yeah, it's going to be good times. I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the series as a whole, but I think they did a really good job of like wrapping everything up in the story. So like definitely a great series finale.
Yeah, for how short it was, honestly, I was, because I saw it and I was like, oh, is it like an hour long? Like, it's a finale, like, right, it's gotta be like blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't.
No, it was like 50 minutes. It wasn't like an hour, but it was longer.
With it at all, you know?
Right.
So that was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. They did a really good job. It was longer. It wasn't an hour. It was like 50 minutes or something, I think. But, it was still cool. And I kind of thought that. You know, because it was only 15, the seasons have usually been 16 episodes. And so when the last one was 15 episodes, I was like, well, maybe it's like a double and they just smushed it together. Which honestly, I feel like they should do most of the time. Like, you know how every time we go to like a Lucasfilm screening of a season finale and they put the two episodes together and they cut out the credits in the middle? And we're like, yeah, that was nice. And when we go home, we're like, oh, I have to watch this as three different episodes.
Oh, poor us.
Poor us. Ugh, we're so spoiled. Excuse me, you don't have avocado toast at my Lucasfilm screening? Okay. I don't know. I feel like we should just...
I don't like avocado toast.
You don't like avocado toast? I like avocado and I like toast. So, like, put it together, add an egg, I'm good.
It's pretty good. But people think, okay, Dad, so if you go to a restaurant, are you going to order what's on the menu, or are you going to make your own thing?
I'm going to order what's on the menu. Right? I don't think I've ever made my own thing.
You think so, right?
Unless I own the restaurant. Or unless it's like a buffet situation where I can sort of
put it together
create
yourself?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's funny when people have the audacity to be like, oh, avocado toast. Can you like change the entire thing for me? Right. Oh, are you allergic, sir? No. I just don't like it.
Right. Can I get double avocado, no toast?
Get something else.
So just hand them an avocado. Boom, there you go. Here's some salt. You're out.
Anyway, yeah. The audacity.
The audacity. These people. See, there's like a funny like little meme somebody shared on Twitter that was like, there's a book called Out of the Shadows, a High Republic book. And it's like, you know, this girl and she's like this kind of smuggler, not like, you know, a pilot type, you know, the car, and they have to like do these things and she's dealing with a graph person. Who is like these hyperspace, like pioneers who like made a whole bunch of money, like mapping hyperspace routes, and so they're like, oh, and this guy is like super rich and fancy, and like blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and the little meme was like, you know, Sylvester Yarrow, the entire book, and it's like a little like anime person with like the weird like face and the little sweat, and it's like these damn rich people. And I'm like, this kind of works for everything, but it's still funny. Yeah. All right. So I guess let's get to the Bad Batch. I think, I don't know. I guess I'm going to come at it like character-wise. So I guess we'll start with, I want to start with Echo and Carr. Echo and Emery. So like Echo has infiltrated the base. And sort of like the last sort of leaves on the like, what are you going to do? And so the beginning of this episode picks up where she's like, I'm going to help. Okay. Like, let's do it. And so, you know, half the thing, he's like in disguise as a stormtrooper with a hand. And she's sort of like helping like get him to where the prisoners are. Or no, like to go find, but like they're not there wherever they're supposed to be. Cause like the kids have escaped already. You know? And then like.
Which is like. I was kind of expecting it to happen.
Yeah. Like, the really good thing about how they did it is everybody is, like, so proactive and, like, still adaptive and cooperative with, like, the whole plan. Like, they go, they don't find them. And then so, like, half of the time they're trying to find them because they're like, where would she go? Oh, no, like, the Zillow Beast is loose. Well, that had to be them because that's what I would. You know, like, okay, well, where does the shaft lead? That's probably where they are. It goes to the hangar. Okay, let's go to the hangar then, you know. And then... all the while, like, Omega is leading these kids out, and then she releases the Zillow Beast so that there's a distraction, and then they're trying to get to the hangar, you know, so that they can get free. And then, like, the other guys are trying to infiltrate and rescue them, you know. Like, so there's, like, all of these three things sort of happening while, like, I don't know. It they did a really good job of, like, balancing it. You sort of knew when and where everybody was at all of the times. And we're worried about the right people at the right moments. And, like, it was really, really satisfying to see it all come together. How, like, once they do find or once they do figure it out, like, they're all able and willing and ready to help each other. You know? So Omega, like, starts breaking out of herself. But once they, like, hook up with Carr and Omega, they're like, okay, you take the kids. Or, like they go back down to rescue, to, like, open the prisoners, like, don't they free, like, all the other, because she's like, I'm not going to leave them. Like, we're going to go down and free them.
Well,
oh, no, I guess
yeah,
that's after.
Because they were, well, they thought, you know, they meet up and they, they're like, where would they hold the batch?
Right.
Because they got captured. She's like, oh, in the, you know, in the jail. Yeah.
So she, like, gives her the, like, data pad now, and she's like, I'm going to take off with the kids, you know, when we'll meet you. And then, you know, they're like, here, go to these coordinates and we'll meet you up after or whatever. And I thought it was, like, really, really cool for Carr to be the one that, like, helps get the kids out of there.
Yeah.
Like, that was really, really nice.
Sweet.
Yeah. And Echo stays behind with Omega. So it's like they switch. And then, like, I forgot, like, when they're, like, because they do, basically, they program the droid to, like, knock out the doctor, the evil doctor. I forgot what her name is, but it's, like,
yeah, some jerk face name. Yeah, they, like, take the droid in the back and they hack it and they...
Yeah.
distract her, and he like injects her with something.
Yeah, and she like instantly passes out. You know, oh, Scalder, that's her name, Dr. Scalder.
It's more like Scolder.
Doctor.
Because she scolded a lot.
Yeah. Nailed it, Lizzie. Boom. No notes. 10 out of 10. So that then they boom, boom, boom. They break down the thing and go start going through the tubes. And like they use the like blankets or whatever to like to make a little papoose for the little baby. And yeah. Then I don't know if you noticed, but the other little girl with the like doll, like has the little doll tied around her waist.
Oh, no, I didn't notice that. That
was
funny.
I thought that was cute. Like the little like straw Lula.
Yeah.
Was like tied up. So yeah, like they're going through, and then like at one point, like the Zillow Beast, you know, the baby starts crying. They're like, oh no, what's going on? And Omega's like freeing the Zillow Beast while they're stuck in the wall. What are you guys doing there? Come out of there. And then the Zillow Beast.
I like how confused the stormtrooper is. He's just like, yeah, it's kids.
What do I do? Right. Which is like a situation presumably that they don't run into. And also the baby place is like super secret.
And they also probably don't. Yeah, I was going to say, they don't know about it.
Exactly. They probably don't know even though they're there. So we're like, what the hell? Yeah, and then the Zillow Beast just starts, like, wrecking shop on everything, like, blows open, starts going up the tunnel, destroys the hangar, destroys all these clone battalions, you know, and they're like, okay, send some people to go after that, and then also, like, da-da-da-da, because I'm pretty sure, like, you know, Hemlock is figuring out what's going on, too, you know? Yes. And then,
But she has his evil plan.
Yeah. Ready. So he's like, don't worry, I got this, or whatever, my little hand.
I think that's the only thing that I was not disappointed about, but mm-hmm. I was like, what was going on with his hand? Why didn't you want to show us?
That's just
like,
how he emotes.
Did he just hurt it? Like, did...
That's just his little nervous thing.
Experimenting on it?
Mm-hmm. No, I think, because he seems to do it when he's, like, nervous or, like, it seems to be, like, just a little energetic / nervous whatever thing. Apparently. Unless Bad Batch 2, the hand returns. Dun, dun, dun. But not the hand. Right? So they like, the little kids get out, and then, with Omega and the little kids, it was, like, really cool because she was able to, like, sort of, okay, you do this, you do that. Like, they were able to work together as a team. They didn't do any, like, force kind of stuff. Which is, like, also kind of cool that they, like, escaped under their own, like, ingenuity and, like, working as a team as opposed to the little kids.
Well, they also don't really know that they have the Force.
Right. But I just thought the possibility of them being able to be like, okay, everybody, like, drop a box on these stormtroopers. You know, something like tip over the boxes on the stormtroopers or something, like, might happen. Everybody concentrate real hard. Like, clear your mind and don't panic. You can help us. You know, like, I kind of thought there was going to be something like that, and it didn't. And I think I do like it better. Like, you know, I like the teamwork, like, and the cooperation, like, of all of the, like, a lot of the themes of the entire show, they did a really good job of wrapping it up. Because it's about, like, the whole show is about the Bad Batch. There are these clones that, like, they don't belong with the clones. And then in the larger scale, now the clones don't belong in this world, in this empire or whatever. Right? So it's like, now all of them are, like, useless / hunted. Because they do want something from Omega. But the themes of the story is not only like finding out where you belong and making those choices, but it's also about like having that space, that power, that freedom to choose. Because it's like, how do you make your life yours? Which they've never had to do. Or, I'm sorry, they've never been allowed to do. Other than Cut Law Queen, like 5 years ago. He was like, you know what, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. But like, that's it's really interesting. And like, that's what makes the show for me. You know, it's like this family, these people who are trying to find a life for themselves and also help others like them find that life, you know, like, so there's that spirit of cooperation and like of us standing up for each other and our rights and our freedom, you know, like. And I really love that. And the way that they sort of wrapped it up, like they all come together to work together. They all cooperate to get what they want. But at the same time, they're all given the right to choose. Like when they're down there rescuing the other clones, they're like, we're going to take out this base. We're going to do this, you know, but if anybody wants to help us, we could use your help. But also, like, it's your choice, you know? This is not, like, your life is yours now. Like, you're free. We've done our best. We've freed you. So if you want to get out of here, get out of here. If you're injured, take the injured, you know? And if not, and if you want to help us destroy this place, like, then help us.
Yeah.
You know? And it, like, it comes at it from, like, every angle. It's the Omega who's captured because of whatever. And, you know, the other clones who are there to save her. And then also Dr. Carr, who finally makes her own choice and decides to help these people. Like, I love it. Like, everything was, like, so pitch perfect and wrapped up, like, beautifully. But also, if you think about it, like, on a thematic storytelling level, like, it was exquisitely done. You know. And it's been strong throughout the entire show, right? Like, a lot of the finales is, like, them, like, returning to their home to try to help these people. And then their home is destroyed. They have no home. So it's like, now you have to find your own way in the galaxy. You know. And then in season two, it's like, that's what they're trying to do, find their own way in the galaxy. Except, you know, now they're sort of like being hunted because the galaxy has decided that they don't have a place in the galaxy. You know. I don't know. There's like a lot of stuff about the show that I really love. But I think that sort of like theme, the found family, the cooperation, and the like freedom to choose what you want to do with your life is huge.
I like that they tried their best to give Omega that choice too. Mm-hmm. Like, they were running away and like not fighting and not helping because mm-hmm. they wanted to stay low and like give Omega the opportunity to be a kid.
Yeah. And even like up till, and it's like throughout, right? Like, you know, a lot of the struggle of like the second season is Hunter wants to, you know, give all this up because he wants Omega to have a safe life, you know, and then Echo wants to get involved with the bigger fight and the like helping his brothers and the stuff like that. So you have like they both have opposing viewpoints about what they think they should do, you know, and in the end, you know, they do kind of split up and split off because like that's part of it too, right? Like just because we're a family doesn't mean we all have to do the same thing. And even going up to the epilogue, you know, Omega decides she wants to fight with the rebellion, you know.
I like her giant ponytail.
Yeah. Her whole little outfit is rad. Like, do you see she's got like the little skull, like the logo on her shoulder and everything? Like, it's so dope. But yeah, like it's like throughout and it's just done so well. And you really get the sense that like they all care about each other, but they all still get to make their own choices for themselves, you know. Even when they don't agree on what that is the better choice, you know, they sort of help each other get through it no matter what. Yeah, it's great. And Omega is great. Like, she's such a great character. Her, like, her ability to learn and help and her empathy, like, right up into, like, everybody's there to save her. And she's the one who's like, I'm not leaving without my brothers. Like, she wants to help everybody else, you know, like, not even including the Bad Batch. Like, including the, like, other clones that are caught there. You know who else is caught there? Nala Se and Admiral Rampart. What'd you think about that?
Scene, I guess?
Story
the scenes
part?
With them.
Yeah.
Because they unlock Rampart and they get Nala Se out and everything. And then Nala Se goes to Omega and is like, hey, like, you know, no one else can have my research. Mm-hmm. Like, this is really crucial to the Emperor. I want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And so she goes, but she's followed by Rampart, which mm-hmm. I was confused on what was going on, because I was like, what is he doing? Like, I thought he was going to be so keen on, like, wanting to run away and wanting to leave, you know?
I think he saw that at his, like, ticket back, right? You know?
Yeah.
That's what I assumed. He wants the thing so he can have something to, like, barter his way back into the Empire, into the power that he loves so much, right? That's what I assumed.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, like, why? Like, I feel like he should know by now it's the worst thing to, like, you know, blackmail the Empire. Because then once you tell them what, that you know everything, they'll just kill you. Can't tell no one nothing.
Right, right. Well, I think it was less of a blackmail and more like, look what I did. Look what all the things I saved for you. Look, I you know, this thing that you really care about, I protected it for you.
No, because they said that he was going to tell them that he would release it all and everything.
Ah, okay.
At least that's, I'm pretty sure that's right, what right. happened. I was like, you're dumb.
Yeah. But either way, I think he was, whatever he was doing, he was being selfish about it and like looking for whatever his leg up was going to be, you know. So, yeah, as soon as he starts following Nala Se, you're like, oh, no.
And then he goes and Nala Se is there to delete everything. And then she doesn't, well, technically she deletes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she says the thing where she's like, no one can have my work. And then she blows them all up.
Yeah.
Well, at least them two. They get blown
right.
up.
And all of the, like, information and backups and everything that they want, right? So, but yeah. I thought it was done so well. Because the way they do it is like, she, like he pulls a gun at, what is all this stuff? Why? And she's like, you wouldn't even understand if I told you, which is fair, you know? And then she's basically like, the empire will never have this. This is Kamen, like, they're never going to get my work. And so she basically holds like a thermal detonator. So when he shoots her, she drops the detonator and they blow it up. But the way they did that, it was so great because he shoots her. The detonator rolls out and he realizes that it's like, it's his selfish choice that led to his death. Like,
yeah.
He could have, I mean, I don't know what else he could have done to like get out of it. Like she had the detonator before he walked in or whatever.
Well, that's the thing. Right. She turned it on before he shot her.
Well, it was like, I think she was like holding the, like, it's like a dead man switch, right? She's holding it. And then when he shoots her and she drops it, that's when it activates. You know what I mean? Like, that was her insurance, you know, to whereas if he would have just left, she could have just, like, deactivated it, right? Like, I think that's, like, it's almost like holding a grenade, right? You're holding the pin down in your hand, and then if they shoot you, your hand opens and the grenade blows up, and if they don't, you, like, put the pin back in. You know what I mean? That's how I took it. And I just thought that was really great, because it, like, it all comes back to, like, because as you have the guys choosing to help each other and the Bad Batch and everything in Omega, you also have this dude who's making selfish choices, and it's his own stupid, selfish choice that gets him killed. Because he could have been in that ship with the clones and flown away and been just fine, but he just had to, like, try to get that extra little thing and been like, I gotta see what all this is about. You know what I mean? And he refused to listen. So he gonna learn today. It was great. It was, like, fantastic. It was beautiful. The lighting was great. Everything, like, all the music in this episode is perfect, too. There are, like, so many times where, like, boom, 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 they get up and they do something really cool and Omega stands up and, like, the little theme kicks in. Choo-choo, 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 or whatever. And I was like, yeah, there she goes. You know. So then the rest of the, who else we got? We got Wrecker, Crosshair.
Oh my god, Crosshair's
Hunter.
Hand!
Oh, dude, that was pretty savage.
Yeah, no, because Hemlock releases like his little guys.
The CX guy, operatives,
I
whatever.
I was hoping one of them was tech, but like.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay.
Well, they had one with, like, a helmet that looked like glasses, and I was like, oh, here you guys go again. But they were just all different. They were all clones.
Nothing even happened. Anyway, yeah, they were all clones, though. And they go, and they, like, they cut off Crosshair's hand.
Yeah. There's, like, a big fight, and, like,
messed up.
Again, I keep thinking it's going to be Wrecker. Because, like, for the past three episodes, they've been, like, killing Wrecker every single time. He's been unconscious for half of them. And then this time he's getting wrecked by these guys. And the way they came out like one has two like swords and the other guy had like a whip thing or something. And the other guy had a rifle. Like it was almost like an evil Bad Batch, but like, you know, cyborgy. It was like some like Project Genesis shit from like Dirge of Cerberus, you know, and they.
It's also in Crisis Core.
Fair. Much more in Dirge of Cerberus. But yeah, like they come out and they have their little things and like, they're also working together too.
Sorry.
They like, they, what do you call it? They're like passing weapons. Like, remember when they cut his hand off, like the one guy throws the sword to the other guy and the other guy cuts his hand off. So they're like working together kind of like an evil Bad Batch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I was thinking, that he probably was trying to like recreate a Bad Batch, but his own.
Right, right. Or make a better one, right?
Yeah. With a less, good batch.
With less.
But it's the opposite. Get it? Because they're evil, but the Bad Batch is not evil.
Right. Ha. Perfect. Ha. Ja, ha, 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 ha. With like well, like, I think his thing was like more, I don't know, like not independent, you know what I mean? Because like the whole thing with the Bad Batch is that they are able to make their own choices. They're like more like Django, and they don't have as much like behavior restrictions and double aging, or yeah, they had the double aging, but like restrictions and all that, plus whatever their modifications are. So I think for the Empire, he wants to make ones that are more like robots, and they don't have a choice. They just like follow the orders, and all their consciousness is burned away or whatever. And, but also with like modifications to make them super crazy strong or whatever, or good with swords. But yeah, like the fighting was brutal. They're throwing Wrecker around, or everybody, and like people are getting knocked out. And again, I think Wrecker's about to die.
Yeah, the poor Wrecker. Yeah.
But then, yeah, your boy's hand gets cut off. And I was like, damn, they went there. You know, because we were like, what's going to happen with his hand the whole season? Now we know.
Yeah.
It trembles. Well, now it's gone.
Apparently, I feel like that part's a little worse than it trembling.
Right. The doctor's like, this is good news. It doesn't shake no more.
I fixed it.
Uh-huh. It's okay. Fixed it. Done. Nailed it. Can I interest you in a scomp link?
Would you like a Band-Aid?
Mm-hmm. Him and Echo can trade hands now. They just like buy one little hand and they're like, oh, can I have the hand tonight? Like, I would like to go out to wherever you need to. I would like to eat a hamburger this evening. I would like to have two hands. Or whatever.
Could eat a burger.
Okay. Fine. Disassemble my joke.
No, I'm trying to think of something. Ribs?
Sure.
Corn on the cob.
Sure. That works.
Two hands.
Two hands. What else we got? So yeah, like the evil guys capture the Bad Batch and then he takes them up. And so he's trying to like also capture them so that he can use them as, you know, try to turn them into the next more super soldiers or whatever. Very Winter Soldier stuff, right?
Yeah.
Which was cool. But then like Omega kind of gets in there and is able to like sneak through the little, she's using Ezra tricks. That was so cool. Because she's doing like the sneaky through the like little AC units and all that.
Yeah, and I like that Echo is like, they're not babying her. They're not saying, no, Omega, it's too dangerous. Like, it's serious time. They have to have her help out, you know?
I mean, they still kind of like protect her, but they also utilize the things that she, they're like, okay, you sneak through the thing, but stay out of sight until I have the, you know, whatever, done this. You know, like, so they're using, like, because she's little, she can do these things. She knows how to do the tech stuff because also she was like a lab assistant forever. And she's been in the facility multiple times, so she's clearly good with that, you know. So it was really cool to see the way that they, you know, she knows all the plans. She knows how to infiltrate. She's little and fits in air ducts and corridors. It all worked really, really
she's
well.
She's older than him, right?
She's like, older than everybody, I think, except Boba.
Oh, my God. She's older than Ezra, right? 10 years, maybe?
No, at this point, she's probably, like, maybe about where he was in season one. So, like, in season one and two when he was doing, I think, like, that's around the age she is now. Because I think she's probably like 14. The war was 3 years. Maybe this is a year or two after. Maybe
right,
she's 15.
But she was alive before Clone Wars. Or during the Clone Wars.
Django made the deal 10 years before the Clone Wars started.
But Ezra was born Empire Day.
Oh, I thought you meant, yes, she's old. Yeah. So I thought you meant, like, is she older now than the age he was when we saw him
like,
in Rebels?
She is older.
Yes,
but how much?
Very
like
much
10,
older.
14? Like,
let's see. He's probably like 4. He was born on Empire Day. So she's probably like, yeah, 13 years older than him.
I was just curious because then she's working with the Rebellion later too, and I was like, oh, that's cool. Like maybe she meets Ezra. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Not really, but like maybe.
Right, right. It would be interesting to see like when that takes place. Like, was that like the beginning when it was forming? Was that at the end when they're already like in full scale war? Like by the time of the original trilogy?
I want to say when it's forming. I feel like she wouldn't wait.
Yeah. Like how early? Like Andor early or like Rebel season one early or season three early?
I want to say maybe later than Andor. I'm guessing. Yeah. But I want to say later. A little later than Andor.
Because like the very beginning is all these disparate cells, right? So is she like joining one of those cells? Or is she coming in when like things are starting to, like the cells are starting to unite and become the Alliance? I don't know. I'm just, not that it really matters, but I'm just curious. It just sounds interesting to me. But yeah. Let's see. Yeah. So like she sort of helps free them and then she gets captured by Hemlock again, who like does the, he captures the little child and is like, don't shoot me. I have a child. And, and like is using her to like, get out.
Yeah, there's like Omega's like, I just like how much trust Omega has in her people.
Right, and how much trust they have in her. Like, especially
this man lost a whole hand, and now he has to shoot with his left.
Yep.
Which I think is like, I thought would have been funny because he does do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like it has this whole build up.
Yeah.
But, Hunter is like, you got this. Omega believes in you.
Yeah. She knows exactly what to do. Yeah.
And so she does it, and she moves, and, like, he hits it. I was waiting for him to... I know it was serious time, but I was waiting for him to be like, huh, maybe I'm better with my left. Like, he just never, like, tried his left.
Right, right.
And instead, but, I thought that was cool.
Nice.
No more shaking, though, so it's even more reliable.
Yeah, they cut the shaky part off. It's like when you have a green onion and a little bit of it is brown, and you're just like, choop-doop. Now it's perfect.
Yes, of course. His hand is the brown part of
it. Oh, they also lit that other fool up. That like it was like Scorch when everybody was like, oh, Scorch is in like the Bad Batch. They lit that fool up too. They like shot him like 10 times. He falls off the bridge. Yeah. Like the commando guy.
Yes.
And then, Hemlock's like up on the bridge. But I like that she was like, trust me, I got this or whatever. Like, and they all knew the signals, like, because that to me is like, she didn't just trust them in this moment and they didn't just trust her in this moment. Like they've built this up through their time together. You know what I mean? Like, which is how you get this trust in the first place. It wasn't blind trust. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is something that they have built together and that's why it works and works so well. And it feels so great, because when you have things like this, they're all prepared for this. And it was like perfect. She did what she was supposed to do. They do what they're supposed to do. And Hemlock got lit up and fell off the bridge. And I don't want to see everybody's thing about like 17 ways Hemlock might have survived. On whatever websites pop up or YouTube videos. I think that fool dead.
It's a little dead.
Mm-hmm. He gone like tech. Just saying.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't know. I just really like this scene a lot. And then I thought it was funny because when we were watching it, like the little thing when you put it on like Disney Plus, it shows her crying in the rain. It shows Omega crying in the rain.
Yeah.
And all of us kind of looked at each other. We were like, that doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. And then like we cut and it's like her and she's like crying happy because she just got freed.
Right.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, the little like thumbnail or whatever they put on the episode is it's mean. Super dramatic. But also, like, yeah, I could have not looked at that thumbnail and still known that this episode was going to be super dramatic. To be fair.
Yeah, but that was even scary. I was really thinking that one of the Bad Batch was going to die.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean,
but, like, just one of them. I was like, there's got to be at least one of them that dies. It can't just be Tech.
Well, I thought, mean. Like, when you look at it as a whole story, I think Tech is the one that, you know what I mean? Like, I think they did the thing where one of them died. They just did it a lot earlier than, like, the last act, if you look at every season as an act, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So instead of using it as, like, the sad thing that happens towards the sacrifice that had to be made to fix everything, it's sort of, like, happens more towards the middle and really, like, sets off how dangerous this path is and, like, what they need to do to protect and work with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's used a little bit differently than it is in traditional, you know, like, as we've seen it many times before. So I kind of like that nobody else died because you already had that. And then it didn't feel like the three act structure where, like, everything happens. As the, you know what I mean? It's kind of like when they kill Snoke in The Last Jedi and people were like, hold up. I thought he was gonna, like, because everybody expects the same act structure from every other Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So killing him in season two, like, I think also was a good choice to make that sacrifice separate or different than the way people expect it to happen. Now, the only bad thing I would say about that is that this whole season you have people going like, well, he's probably one of them. You got under that mask now. He's probably one of them. They fixed his eyeball so he don't need glasses. I did like also when the, like, the episode starts. I don't know if anybody else noticed but me, but, like, the little logo pops up and the logo is all blacked out because their armor is all blacked out right now. That was so sick. Because, like, before, remember, it's, like, black and it has, like, the little kind of reddish maroon streaks and some gray and all that. This time it was, like, all murdered up. And I was like, red. Yeah, that was, like, the first thing where I was like, oh, they're doing cool stuff. Kind of like when in the episode of Rebels where, like, the last episode with Kanan, at the end when the Rebels logo comes up, it's, like, gray and white instead of, like, you know, the normal Rebels logo. I like when they do that.
Noticed it, so I feel it's bad. Like, but
so beautiful. Zillow Beast was cool. I like the idea of Zillow Beast being, like, free on that planet now. Just that, like, savage planet of animals and beasts.
He's just kind of there.
He's like a new one now. I don't know what he would do.
That's where he'd be roaming.
Yeah. I don't know if he messed up that ecosystem, but that was tight. What about the CX guys? Did you even like them? Did you think they were cool? I thought they had a cool fight scene.
I thought they were cool. I mean, I just thought, like, they were just trying to be, like, I think that's what it was supposed to be. He was trying to make his own Bad Batch.
Yeah.
And they were pretty good. They were nothing against the power of friendship.
Exactly. it like, feels like it was very, like, I don't know, like, it's so Captain America, right? Because that's what this is, right? They're all super soldiers, engineered or whatever. And, like, in this case, they're more like Winter Soldier because they're all, like, mindless, right?
I guess so.
Now, that's how I think of it when I look at it. Or I guess that's the only thing I can compare it to off the top of my head. But, like, I don't know. I just thought it was, like, cool and a good thing. And I liked the way, like, they were utilized in their thing. And then they also, like, did away with them pretty quick. So you weren't left with, like, wondering, like, well, what are they going to do? Like, they did a pretty good job of, like, nope, they're dead.
Yeah.
So I like that, too.
He does release the poison again, too.
Oh, yeah, that finally came back. Although I didn't really care about it by now.
Yeah, there should have been, like, a lot more of that. Also, he wasn't even in the poison.
Yeah.
I was just kind of watching them get poisoned.
Like, that's what I was going to say. I was like, oh, I was expecting it to be like you know, like when, I don't know, when they catch him, you know, and he's got Omega or whatever. Like, what he did is he catches Omega and he, like, uses her, right, as a human, as a whatever, hostage. Like, that would have been the spot where I would think, like, oh, they, like, catch him and the gas comes out and then they, like, all pass out and he's like, aha, I got away or something. You know what I mean? Like, something like that could have happened. Or, like, they catch him and they're, like, leading him out. And then, like, the gas comes out and then he's able to escape again.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't make sense in this part of the story. But that's like where I thought it might come back. Like, but instead, he was just like, look, I just like poison.
Yeah.
There it is. There it goes. If I was down there, man, I wouldn't even be having a problem right now. I'll be breathing fine.
I thought.
Yeah.
That's okay. Again, like, for everything, for how pretty short it was, I was like, huh. Mm-hmm. It like, got everything. You know, there was no, like, Omega got taken again. It wasn't like, so, no one died, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
Always a good time.
Hemlock died.
But, okay, I meant, like, no one important Bad Batch-wise died. Everyone was okay.
Yeah.
Just a little beat up, probably really tired.
Yeah. Wrecker, again, is wrecked.
Yes, always.
I also like the... Oh, man, did I forget what I was going to say? Whack. He, like, the way that they... Not like they inverted everything, but the way it, like, everything's happening at once, and their cooperation and their, like, the way they care about each other is what allows, like, Omega goes back to save them, you know, and because she goes back to save them, she sort of gets caught, but because she freed them, they're able to help kill the CXs again, you know, they get the CXs this time, and also they're able to save her at the end when they all work together to, like, kill Hemlock, you know? So it's just like, I like how much they depend on each other and how much they also come through for each other. Like, all of that works very well together in the storytelling. You love to see it. You know.
It's a very sweet
ending.
Not the whole episode, just the ending.
Right, just the ending of that story, right?
And I liked how, you know, we see old Hunter.
Wait, before you get there. Let's get with the, like, because then you got Tarkin, like, he phone calls him and he's like, I heard you're making a mess. I'm coming over. I heard your room is dirty. I'm going to come check it.
He seems just, like, so offended about how Hemlock is getting money for his project and stuff.
Right.
And Tarkin wants to know what the project is about.
Yeah.
And Hemlock doesn't tell him, so he's even more salty. So he was so happy to go and, like, check out, like, what was happening because everything, you know, things were falling apart.
I love how infighty they kind of keep all that kind of stuff because that's
all the time.
Yeah. But those are things that is also in, like, I mean, we've seen it before, like in Rebels, right? Like Thrawn's TIE Defender program is like what Tarkin is like, well, I need the funds for Stardust and Thrawn. Thrawn is like, no, but I can build these cool ships that, like, will make our thing better instead of putting all my money into one stupid Death Star you can blow up. Like, I love, like, that's the back and forth, right? But I love, like, that comes up repeatedly. It's also in a lot of the books and stuff about all these, like, different plans and, like, where all these things should go. Because, like, and at the end of the day, we know the Emperor never gives up on this because... But also, it's not an empire thing. This is a, like, specific, I want to live forever thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. It's interesting. And I wonder how much, like, this also, like, because clearly this gets shut down. This gets blown up. Presumably, they don't salvage much, if anything, from this. Because all the data is destroyed. All the people are destroyed. The base is destroyed. There's just a Zilla beast in the forest now. And we know eventually all that cloning stuff is happening over on Exegol, except for whatever Moff Gideon was doing, which I also think he was kind of going off on his own. Because they were like, what about all that stuff you were doing? And he was like, I'm not doing anything. Which makes me think that, like, I think he was, and then he's like, look at my clones. So I think he was just doing his own nonsense.
Yeah.
Like, I think he took their knowledge or whatever and, like, tried to be like, well, I should be the new emperor. Not that dead guy. Which is why I think that, not that dead-ish guy. So I don't know. Like, I'm very curious to how, like, all this sort of, like, backstabby Imperial kind of stuff. Like, I love how when those pieces, like, come together, too. And then also Tarkin shows up with, like, an Imperial-class Star Destroyer. So I think that's cool, too. I was like, oh, look, there's a new one and, like, two of the old ones. And then, he's like, shut it down. Give me the money. And then
it was like for Project Stardust.
Yeah, Stardust. Nobody know what that means? I don't even know what it means.
I don't even know.
I don't even know. No idea. I don't even know why he calls it that.
What is a star?
I don't even. I guess there's dust in it, I guess. Like, I'm not a scientist. I'm a moth.
What is that? I'm not a
doctor
either.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is either. I'm a grand moth. I'm the biggest one, and I don't know. So then, and then you have also, like, the mission complete. They go back to Pabu. I'm happy that they go back to Pabu, even though the Empire knows about it. But, like, and maybe, well, I guess not presumably, because... You like you were saying earlier, we do find out that they end up staying there at Pabu, or at least the Bad Batch-ish people do. But just for this part right now, they sort of like, you know, they make it really clear of like, well, everybody gets to do what they, you know, they can stay here, they can hang out. The young people are adapting, you know, some of them go like, you know, Echo takes off with some of the other clones or whatever, the ones that want to go with him. Some of them presumably become part of Pabu's population. I don't know what happens to Emery, but she's given the choice, you know. And I'm sure she could be like, I'm going to
study. She got no glasses anymore.
I got no glasses. She pulled, I don't even need them. Mm-hmm.
She's all that. No Emery's more glasses. Like, she's beautiful now.
Emery's like, was I a bet? Oh, good times. Yeah, and they all have, like, I thought it was, like, really cute because... It does happen in Star Wars, but I think, like, I haven't seen, like, a really good one in a while when they, like, sort of, like, it's the group photo almost. Like, they're sitting in front of the tree, and they're like, we made it. Now we get to choose what our future. And, like, Batcher's sitting next to her, and then the other
they
two guys come and sit.
They should do a group photo.
That was such a group photo, like, moment.
Yeah.
And that's, like, how a lot of the Star Wars movies used to end, you know? At the end of, like, The Empire Strikes Back, they're, like, looking out the window, and R2 and 3PO are there. And at the end of Return of the Jedi, they're, like, having a party, and they're all, like, lined up in front of the bonfire for an excellent photo. At the end of A New Hope, they're at the, like, celebration thing, and they're all standing up there. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So I thought that was very, very nice. But then you get the post-credit scene that happens before the credits, which is the part you wanted to talk about. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Because, you know, Omega's grown.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I said I wanted to see, but I wasn't sure if they were going to, because I don't want to say they'd never done this, but, like, I wasn't sure if they were going to do, like, a little snippet of, like, in the future, technically, but they did, and I was like, oh, wow, I was not expecting to get what I wanted, but... You know, she's grown and she's leaving Pabu, like, early morning, late night, I guess. She goes into that cave, which they, like, made an actual, like, hangar
the
now.
The secret parking garage?
Yes. And Hunter's there with Batcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, I may be old, but I still have my senses. And I don't know, I wish it was everyone else. Because, again, I understand that Hunter was, like, the first to, like, want to help this kid and blah, 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 and, like, pretty much her dad. But, like, I feel like her other, you know, the other Bad Batches are also kind of her dads. Or at least uncles,
right.
You know, brothers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet, like, you they all would say that. You know, if it was Wrecker and that was the whole thing, he would have been like, I'm your dad or whatever. I'm still your dad. You know.
Well, I don't know. I just was like, I wish we saw them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
that was,
way, you know, that would be cute.
That would have been nice.
Because it's the whole Bad Batch, like, sending her off and knowing, like, she's going to be doing good things and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was my only thing with it, but that's okay.
Yeah, that definitely would have been nice.
Talk to her. And then they're, like, sitting under the moon.
Mm-hmm.
The moon, right?
Yeah, it was nighttime. Yeah, but I also like that their absence... Like, might also gives the possibility that maybe they found, like, a life. You know what I mean? Like, maybe Wrecker decided to go be a chef somewhere or something. You know what I mean? Like, anything. Like, maybe Crosshair went and got a new hand and joined up with Echo. Or, like, I would like that they all are there, retired and happy. But I also would like that maybe they found something else that made them happy. You know? As sad as it is. So I like that their absence, that gives me that possibility in my head of whatever, like, where their happy place might be. You know what I mean? Although, conversely, I suppose it also invites the possibility of a sad place they might be.
Well, it seemed like they were still alive.
Yeah, but I choose to make it a happy place.
Yeah, because I think they're still alive. I don't think they're in a sad place.
I believe in belief.
Yes.
Yeah, and her, like I was saying, her clothes, her cool, like, adult self, all grown up and going off to be a hero. You know, and as, like, the person that she is, like, of course that's what she would do. She helps people. She has all of these skills. She's been trained since she was a child, much like the clones, you know. But also having the freedom of that choice to be like, this is what I'm going to do. You don't have to come with me, but this is what I choose to do. The fight is coming, and I want to be part of it. It's really nice. All in all, beautiful thing. I mean, yeah, like it's, I wouldn't say it's becoming a thing, but it's definitely like a little bit like, because Rebels has a flash forward too, right? Although now, like, you can look at it as like the connection to Ahsoka, you know, and even Clone Wars had like a final, although it was like just sort of like Vader showing up and finding the helmets and the sabers or whatever. You know, but like, I mean, I guess Resistance didn't, but some of the other ones did. And I thought that was interesting that like they're kind of doing that now. Because I looked at it as like, oh, kind of like Rebels, like the way that I saw it. And also it is nice to catch up and to see like that their story goes in good places. And, you know, Hunter has a cool new bandana from Pabu. He's like, this is Pabu made right here.
Old man bandana.
Mm-hmm. It's like my solid Pabu stuff. It's all good times. I mean, that's it. I think we covered it pretty good. I loved it. I love the entire series. And, you know, like I said back in the beginning, this is not something I was super excited for. I was like, all right, clones, cool. You know, those guys are cool. I like those episodes. You know, like, just fine. But also, like, it's not, like, exactly, like, the things that I get excited about Star Wars, you know, but the show definitely, was not only amazingly great for what it was, but it also like brought something that I didn't expect and is way far above and beyond what I anticipated it when it was originally announced or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Again, yeah, I was also, not that I wasn't excited for Bad Batch, but I was also kind of just like, I don't really know those guys.
Mm-hmm. Eh. No, I mean, but the only thing we would have known them is those like four episodes of Clone Wars. And I was like, oh, those were fun.
Right, but like, I wasn't, didn't, in my head, they didn't really make it particularly interesting for me to want to be like, oh my God, a whole series of them? That's so sick.
Right.
But like, now I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Yeah, totally. And that's exactly what I'm saying. I felt the same way. I was like, yeah, it's like, cool. Clones, cool. I'm sure they'll be fun and cool, interesting adventures. And it was completely not that. Although it was them having cool adventures, but it was like really, much like Rebels, it's like, much like a lot of Star Wars. The best Star Wars storytelling is a lot of this like found family concept of these people coming together, helping each other, you know, like that idea of Star Wars, of cooperation, and like people not being selfish and standing up for each other. Like, that's what makes a good Star Wars story, you know. And this is definitely that. All good? Are we done? Did we miss anything?
I hope we see Omega in the late. Well, because that's the thing, is she's older than Luke and Leia, so that means that she's older than them in, like, with the resistance, if, like, she lives that long.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, yeah, I think she would be too old to be a pilot for sure, you know. But, like, you know, she could still be around. But, yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. I don't know about resistance age, but like there definitely could be a lot of storytelling opportunities in the like rebellion for her, right? Like that's literally what she says she's going to go do, join the rebellion. So like seeing her as whatever she decides to fly. Pilot would be cool. I think she would make an excellent U-wing pilot.
Why?
Because she, like, has more skills than just piloting. So, like, the U-wing is, like, you pilot the thing and you also have, like, strike force, like, on it. And she could be part of the strike force. You know what I mean? Like, she knows how to do techie things. She knows how to, like, fight and aim and breathe. And she's a leader. She knows how to, like, lead people, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, she knows how to inspire people and to work as a team and to, like, adapt to situations. So I think, like, as a U-wing pilot, she could, like, infiltrate bases or go on these missions and have a team. Like, those are things that I think she would shine in. As opposed to, like, a regular pilot who, you know, like, I guess they have teams too, right?
I mean, they're all a team.
Yeah. But I feel like she has skills outside of a ship as well as in a ship. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I guess that's why. I'm like, she could do it all. All right.
Everything.
Well, I think that's a podcast. What do you think? Falls
Sorry.
Asleep.
I didn't mean to. I was like, yes. And then I went.
Oh, good times.
I was going to say that it's cool because she is a clone. And all the clones by then are all, like, super, super old. But, like, do you think people know that she's a clone by looking at her?
I mean, maybe. But, like, I guess, like, in theory, she looks exactly like them, but a girl, right?
I guess. I mean,
you know what I mean? Whatever
I don't really...
a girl version of Tamura would look like. I think, does Tamura have a sister? I mean, maybe we could research this. What does Tamura's mom look like?
No.
You know, does Tamura have a daughter? These are all things that might help. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, in theory, a lot of people are saying that, like, if there is ever some sort of, like, live action, what do you call it? Live action Omega, that she should be played by Keisha Castle Hughes, who is the voice actress who played Emery. And she's also, like, she's a New Zealander of Maori descent. Like, just like Tamura, you know. So I think she has, you know, like, sort of similar heritage. And I think you'll probably most remember seeing her from, I believe she is in episode 3 as Queen Apollyanna. Like, the one who walks with, like, at Padme's funeral. I think she's that queen. But I guess that doesn't help if under the makeup you can't see what she looks like.
Yeah.
But, like, she's a, you know.
Well, I looked up Tamora Morrison's sister.
Oh, okay.
I mean, kinda.
Yeah, it could work.
She's, like, blonde.
Yeah. I mean, I think they can fix hair. Like, I feel like the hair is the least of my worries.
Yeah, I know, but I was just like, I don't know. It's like, oh.
Yeah,
blonde.
Fair enough. Yeah. I feel like, but if they had a younger version, I think, like, that other suggestion would work. I was like, yeah, because you see people are like, oh, they should have, like that's already happening. People are like, they should, like, do a live action Omega. And it's like some, like, no, that is a white person. That a clone of Jango Fett would not be a white person.
Yeah.
So, look, I mean, I don't know the Kaminoan technology.
Jango is not white.
Right. But in a creative space, like, I'd like to at least kind of try to keep it a little more scientifically accurate. You know, look, I'm not a doctor, but.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Are we done now for real?
I think so.
Is there anywhere people can check you out and find out you guys' stuff online?
My computer is broken. So at the top of my head, there's starwarsgeekgirl.com.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram at SWGeekGirl or Star Wars Geek Girl. And I do not personally have anything. But right. We will probably get back into podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
It's been
too
crazy
long.
Times.
And there's plenty of stuff to podcast about.
Yes.
And so our next episodes will probably be out pretty soon after waiting so long for this one. We will try to reward you. We will try. You can always check us out at theroguerebels.com. You are liking this podcast. Please share it. Please enjoy it with all your friends. The Bad Batch podcast playlist should now be complete. And we're on all socials at The Rogue Rebels. Like I said before, make sure you're following us and checking us out, especially if you want to see really cool lightsaber-style videos of Acolyte things. And The Acolyte is coming soon, speaking of. Lots of stuff to talk about, including High Republic books I haven't finished or I haven't podcasted about yet, and other cool things. So I am going to get to work on that. And Twitter at Rogue Rebels Fam. And that, I believe, has been a podcast. Yes?
Yes.
All right. We are out of here. Let's go, Gonky.
Do you know when they're going to have or where they can find the videos and stuff of you in Mexico?
I mean, on TikTok, I've been reposting stuff at The Rogue Rebels on our TikTok. So that's where I've been able to find most of the videos. I haven't found too much anywhere else. And the photos, I've put some photos on Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. But the video content, I was only able to find on TikTok. Mostly. It's mostly come out on TikTok. Mostly. All right. That's a podcast.